Okay, let me just, we have a few minutes. Let me just build on what we started talking about yesterday. So yesterday we noted, right, that it's clear on the Gemara that you have to insert Alanisim into Shmona Esrei, and the Gemara has a suffix, right, has a diyun about whether you should add it into Birkat HaMazon, where even in the end of the day, right, it says, right, but even by Birkat HaMazon, it's sort of odd, right? Because the Gemara's language is Eino Mazkir Ve'im Balahazkir Mazkir Bahoda, right? If in benching you add it, right? You add it, but you don't really have to add it. But if you do it Bahoda. So you add it, but it doesn't seem that fundamental. And yet, it's quite surprising that if you look in Shulchan Aruch, for example, by the time you make it there, Shulchan Aruch says Kol Shmonat Yimei Chanukah Omer Al Hanisim BeBerkat HaMazon Da 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 UBeTfilah. That all 8 days of Chanukah you say Al Hanisim BeBerkat HaMazon, right? He puts that first, right, and then in Tfilah, right, which sounds like despite Shulchan Aruch's despite the Gemara's hesitation about it, it really becomes central in later halachic writing, and in the Rambam it's not more important, let's say in Birkat HaMazon, but he definitely removes any of the hesitation that's in the Gemara. And says that Mosif Kiderech Shemosif B'Tfilah, right? He adds it in the same way that he adds it in Shmona Esrei, right? So again, in the Rambam, there's no hesitation in Shulchan Aruch. Not only is there no hesitation about adding into Benchin, but it becomes fundamental. And he goes farther, right? That even if you missed it, so you say it as long as you haven't said Hashem's name in the next bracha. And the Kolbo has a surprising position, which is recorded in the Rama, who thinks that saying Al Hanisim is so fundamental that if you forget to say Al Hanisim, you should say an extra Harachaman, right? You should say an extra Harachaman to capture it. The Rav Yah goes even farther, right, in terms of the centrality of Al Hanisim, and he says, even though the Gemara doesn't seem to say it's really obligatory, he says, Kivan de kiblu alayhu shavuhu kechov, that since the community has accepted it, so it now is like it's an obligation, the same way the Gemara says about, or many of the Rishonim say about Mariv, right, that the Gemara calls it Rishut, but at this point we've accepted it, and now it is fundamental. And then he takes it so far as to say that if you forget it, you have to repeat benching, which is against the Gemara, right? So you have this odd phenomenon where the Gemara is like, I don't really know if you should say it, and if you want to say it, right? Then the Rambam says it's equivalent to the obligation of that of Shmona Esrei. The Shulchan Aruch takes it farther and actually puts it before the obligation of Shmona Esrei. The Rav Yah says that you repeat benching if you forget it, right? The Kolbo says that if you forget it, you have to make it up somehow in benching with a harachaman. Right. So when you combine, right, all of this, right, it's very, very odd. Right. Considering the fact that the Gemara seems to have hesitated, about it, at all. So my teacher of Rosenzweig has an article on this point. And he suggests, a few things, right? And he says, first of all, he thinks that the reason that this happened is because, despite the fact that it may not be obligatory, Al Hanisim really does capture the key themes of Hanukkah and really sets the tone for Hanukkah. And therefore, despite the lack of maybe formal obligation in the same way, it becomes very important thematically, right? And if you read the text of it, it talks about it doesn't even talk about the Neis Pach HaShemen, but it does talk about the sacrifice that we were willing to do, or that we put our lives on the line for God, and that God saved us, right? And the Kiddush HaShem and Avod HaShem that's expressed there, that seems to permeate itself in the entire Hanukkah story. And then he continues and he says, well, perhaps there was initially no formal feasting requirement, right? Part of the reason on Hanukkah, Al Hanisim in benching, is not obligatory, is because even eating a meal is not obligatory. But he says, despite that, the overflow of joy, Avad Hashem, and Simcha that attended this holiday may have inspired Klal Yisrael to express their abundant Hakara Tov and their profound appreciation for the unique bond cemented by Torah Mitzvot through this mechanism. Some formulations do, in fact, emphasize the role of Suda and Mishdan Hanukkah. Moreover, even absent this motif, it should be noted that Birkat HaMazon, the biblical Hodah blessing par excellence, may have come to be perceived as a particularly appropriate and opportune vehicle for maximizing and intensifying the themes of praise and thanksgiving that are so central to Hanukkah. Indeed, when the Gemara emphasizes that when recited, Al Nisan should be integrated into the Hodah section, it may have actually opened the door for the subsequent expansion. Right? He says, and even on the one hand, meal isn't fundamental, but it does sort of fit with the theme. But even if it didn't, Birkat HaMazon is the only D'oraita bracha we have. And therefore, it is the bracha where we thank God on a biblical level. It is the paradigm. And therefore, integrating Al HaNisim there really does capture very important themes. And therefore, he goes on to the Rav Yah. According to Rav Yah, the very fact that this initiative and commitment to Shevach and Odah radiated from Am Yisrael validated it as a normative standard, one that can no longer be ignored or dismissed as voluntary or discretionary. To abstain from articulating Hodah and Hakara Tov and Birkat HaMazon, once it was commonly and broadly perceived as a natural and even essential vehicle for these pivotal themes, was to confound expectations, an inherent lapse of gratitude and thanksgiving. Thus, the previously discretionary Hodah framework of Birkat HaMazon came to demand more due to the initiative, practice, and commitment of Am Yisrael than the initially obligatory tefillah recitation. Ravya's exceptional ruling regarding the capacity of Al HaNisim's omission to disqualify Birkat HaMazon was rejected by the consensus of halachas, right? Meaning this is not the halacha. However, as we have noted, the inconceivability of ignoring and squandering the opportunity to articulate the Hodah of Al HaNisim, perhaps essentially in the ultimate Birkat Hodah of Birkat HaMazon, was widely embraced by the halacha. It's really no surprise that a maximalist Mahajan posture came to be applied in the articulation of Jewish destiny, halacha commitment, divine providence on the festival of Hodah, right? So this, I think, is just an expansion of what we talked about yesterday, where, despite the fact that maybe it's not obligatory, the essential nature of Thanksgiving on Hanukkah and everything it represents really historically and halachically became expanded, because this is something that Klal Yisrael really believed in, and even if not obligatory, really does fit with the ethos of Hanukkah. Okay, when